What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepeakcalendarshow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. All righty, hour number 2. Reminder, I'll be filling in for the vacationing Brett Winterbull. For 1 hour at least of his program from 3 to 4. So you get an extra hour of me today. Not that you asked, but I'm here. 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. The email is pete@thepetecalendarshow.com. So last hour I went over the ins and outs, I think, fairly well. I don't know. We'll find out. Of the proposal at the North Carolina legislature to allow their Republican Governors Association and the Democrat Governors Association to send money downstream to the state political parties, who could then distribute the money to the candidates. And the Democrats walked out of the debate and the vote yesterday, did a little press conference out front. They did not do it in the press room for some reason, so we couldn't get audio, the feed from the legislative press hall where people go in there and they do, you know, news conferences, and it's fed through the system over the internet so people can see it. Democrats went outside on the lawn to do it. And they claimed that it's, they're trying to essentially rig. They did not use the word rig, but they meant it. That the Republicans are trying to rig the governor's race, the gubernatorial election underway. How dare you change these rules while the election is underway? Of course, ignoring the fact that Democrats had no problem changing all sorts of rules back in 2020. They also pointed out that Josh Stein, Democrat Attorney General, running for governor against Mark Robinson, current lieutenant governor, that Josh Stein has just gone up with these attack ads against Mark Robinson, using his own words against him, right? Just a coincidence? I think not. Well, actually, yes, probably a coincidence, because they both seem to be neck and neck in the polls, and they're pretty close on fundraising, at least the last numbers I saw. So I suspect it had more to do with that than the ad that went up. But there is an ad, the left-leaning, this is according to National Review, the left-leaning nonprofit advocacy group America Works USA launched a new ad this week boosting North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein. See, this is totally different than dark money. This is coming from an advocacy group. It's a nonprofit. They're not getting involved in politics. They're just promoting Josh Stein, a Democrat, for governor. That's all. Come on now. In this ad, this is so offensive to me. Anybody who has paid attention to this issue, as I have for, gosh, 15 years, 20 years now, the backlog for rape kit testing. I've gone over this many times over the years. Josh Stein and Roy Cooper cannot both be right on this. They cannot both be right. Roy Cooper claimed when he was attorney general and he was running against Pat McCrory, the incumbent, for governor. And Pat McCrory was hammering Roy Cooper on the backlog of the rape kit testing. There were all these rape kits that the state lab had not tested. And that means that you can't prosecute these alleged rapists. You can't find out the DNA, right? The investigation is sort of at a halt. Any kind of prosecution is at a halt because of the backlog. And so Pat McCrory was hammering away at Roy Cooper, and Roy Cooper claimed that he had cleared the backlog and that Pat was lying. So then Roy beats Pat, and in comes Josh Stein as the new attorney general. Barely. And lo and behold, he starts talking about clearing the rape kit backlog. And when he's up for re-election 4 years ago, he's running against, I believe the fellow's name was Jim O'Neill, who was the is the prosecutor in Forsyth County, if I recall correctly. And O'Neill was hammering Josh Stein over the backlog of the rape kits. And Josh Stein kept saying, no, we've cleared it, which the state legislature sent a boatload of money over to help clear that backlog. But both of those positions cannot be true. Roy Cooper could not have cleared the backlog if Josh Stein cleared the backlog. Now, this makes sense. I know this makes sense at sort of a logical level. And so it probably doesn't pertain to the election cycle and the campaigning. But it seems to me that if Cooper cleared them, then Stein could not have. I am more inclined, actually, to believe Josh Stein in this measure because there was a whole bunch of money dedicated by the legislature. They did a press conference about it as well, and they dragged Josh Stein up there because he kind of had to, right? You're the attorney general. Like, you got to stand next to these lawmakers as they're giving you all this money to clear the backlog that you've said you're going to clear, and you're getting hammered over. So it was a campaign win for him to clear the backlog. And by the way, a win for justice and all of the victims who had been waiting for the rape kits to be tested. So the ad that just went live says, then Attorney General Josh Stein wrote a law requiring all rape kits be tested, finally closing decades-old cases, putting their attackers behind bars. Okay. The Attorney General does not write law. That is the legislative work, right? The legislature did that. Thousands entered into the database that led to 114 arrests. By taking predators off the street, Josh Stein is protecting North Carolina. Okay. Do you think that the Democrats have a problem with law and order perceptions? If this is part of the ad, do you think that they may be a wee bit sensitive to accusations that they're soft on crime? Which, of course, is why Stein has been hammering away at the issue as well. Meanwhile, Mark Robinson, he's now having to defend his comments that he has made over the course of his public profile status before he ever gave that fiery speech in front of the Greensboro City Council about gun control, which launched his political career into the lieutenant governor's race, right? Won the race, and now he's running for governor, but he's got a very prolific and sometimes offensive body of work, shall we say, when it comes to his Facebook posts and when it comes to his speeches that he has been giving in a lot of churches around the state, which I think that also has Democrats very worried because he's going into predominantly black churches and making these speeches. And when you hear them and you watch the video, the crowd loves it. The crowd loves what he's saying. Democrats might not, but the crowds at these churches do. So I think that might be a sort of a sleeper factor that people don't really know how to gauge at this point. Robinson is vowing to broadly reshape North Carolina agencies in a more conservative direction if he is elected. I know. No. Say it's not true. During a speech at the annual North Carolina Republican Party convention a couple weeks ago, Robinson zeroed in on pro-diversity efforts and critical race theory, which they put in the scare quotes in the article at WRAL by Will Duran. Critical race theory, ooh,
if we even know what that is,
which he described as garbage. He criticized teachers and other school officials who he said see themselves as all-powerful bureaucrats who think they know more than you, know your children better than you, and who believe it's okay to feed your children a steady diet of communism and pornography. Mm-hmm. Hashtag not all teachers. He's not saying that about all teachers. Just want to make that clear. He's saying that about the teachers who do believe that, right? Now, If your immediate reaction to that is to say, how dare you tell me what I can and cannot do? Well, I'm going to automatically assume then that you do think he's talking about you because you may be doing some of these things, right? Right? You throw a rock into a pack of dogs. No, I'm not calling them dogs. All right. Okay. Look, that's not, gosh, I should just steer away from analogies. From the governor's race to the attorney general's race, it's been almost, not even a week. It's been 4 days. So Monday, you may recall, we had Dan Bishop on the program. And we were talking about the verdict that had come down against Donald Trump. It seems like a lifetime ago, right? So in talking with Dan Bishop, he made some comments about how the justice system up in Manhattan had been, rigged. But this is not a verdict that passes judicial scrutiny, right? Dan's a lawyer. Dan has, you know, an opinion about the way the legal process played out there, and lawyers can disagree. People can disagree. Totally fine. The Charlotte Observer, or the McClatchy Papers, really, this is written by a reporter named Avi Bajpai, who says, U.S. Representative Dan Bishop said former President Donald Trump was the victim of selective and vindictive prosecution that was comparable to the justice system black people faced in the segregated South. That was the headline. So we had Dan on for the whole segment, talked about a bunch of different things. This was the headline that the McClatchy Papers grabbed. Bishop made the comments about Trump's recent conviction during an appearance Monday on the Pete Callender Show on Charlotte radio station WBT. All right, so first off, I appreciate them getting the name correct and listing the radio station. So thank you for that. Seriously, sincerely, thank you. Because in the old days, they wouldn't even credit the station, they wouldn't credit the host, they wouldn't credit anybody. Unless there was something bad that the host had said, then it was like, get it all right, get the names right, get the call letters, all of that. I do notice also they did not put the frequency, 1110 AM, 99.3. They didn't put the frequencies on there. Not that people can't find it if they were to go looking for it, you know, but it makes it harder. But it's customary to put the frequency in there with the call letters, but it's not imperative. That's fine. I'm not trying to rain on this parade here. I do appreciate the mention, but I would also note that probably it's better they didn't put the frequency in there, because whenever the Charlotte Observer would ever put the frequency, they'd always say 1100 AM. So they put a wrong number in there. So I guess it's better that there's nothing in there. So this way it doesn't send people to the wrong station. There's nothing on 1100, by the way. 1110, yes. 1100, no. All right, so, and by the way, I appreciate the fact that they gave us credit for this, because when you hear me do stories from the McClatchy Papers or TV station or anybody, I always give you who they are, right? I always give you the source, I give you the outlet or the publication, and I always try, unless they've masked the author, I always try to tell you who wrote it, the bylines. Right, because I believe, give credit where it's due. Drag people where you must, but give credit where it's due. So, I appreciate that. Unlike whatever that group was that put out the ad using this audio from BT, they used the audio and didn't credit anybody. They just pulled some, dare I say, selectively edited some of the audio, and they put out some sort of TikTok video or something using the audio that they stole from us because they didn't credit us. So thank you to McClatchy Papers. I appreciate it. And Avi Bajpai, who wrote the story. I appreciate it. Anyway, Bishop was asked about the New York trial, which ended Thursday with a jury finding Trump guilty of 34 counts of falsifying documents in connection to hush money he paid to adult film star Stormy Daniels. The Republican congressman who's running for North Carolina Attorney General said Trump's prosecution was politically motivated, which, by the way, there isn't really any doubt about this. Now, you can say that they should have prosecuted him. That's fine. Right. You hate Donald Trump. Orange man bad. He should be prosecuted. He broke the law. Whatever arguments you want to use to justify, that's fine. But you cannot deny that there is a political motivation to do this. Alvin Bragg literally campaigned on this issue. Literally positioned himself as the toughest on Trump, the one with the experience to get Trump convicted. Amassed a team, including a DOJ guy, Matthew Colangelo, a federal Department of Justice lawyer guy, got him on the team, and then touted his expertise in getting Trump. Right? This was part of Bragg's persona and his campaign pitch. Also, Alvin Bragg has made a habit of releasing people and not charging them for misdemeanors, which is what these charges were supposed to be. That's what they are, although the statute of limitations ran out, so then he concocted this other way to get at a to bring it back, to resuscitate a charge, and then even to elevate it to a felony, right? So a guy who ran on a campaign of getting Trump and has a history with everybody else of ratcheting down the charges, he ratchets up the charges for Trump. I don't think, objectively speaking, I don't think you can argue fairly that this was not a politically motivated prosecution. Again, you can believe that it was warranted. You can believe that he should have done it and that the law backs him and all of that. And Trump's guilty of all these things. And that's a different argument. But the political calculation was there. Bragg has said so himself. So then Dan Bishop commented on it. And he talked about a system, a judicial system, that is weaponized in such a fashion, politically motivated, right? Things other than the law or prosecutorial discretion only going in one direction for certain people, right? This is a, dare I say it, a systemic kind of observation about Bragg and the way he's running his institution.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, 704-570-1110 and 1-800-WBT-1110. Email is Pete at thepetekaliner.com. And that, by the way, is spelled K-A-L-I-N-E-R. It is also the traditional way that one spells Pete, P-E-T-E. So Pete Kaliner. Charlotte Observer, the McClatchy Papers, doing a write-up on the interview that we did with Dan Bishop on Monday. And Dan Bishop said during the interview, our discussion about the Donald Trump verdict that had occurred a couple days prior, he said the problem with the verdict, he said, the problem here is that politics should never drive the use and application of the criminal justice infrastructure. All right, so take Dan Bishop out of this equation. I know he said the quote, but just as a standalone idea, is this accurate? Should politics drive the use and application of the criminal justice infrastructure? I would submit no. I don't want to see the judicial branch used as a weapon against political opponents, right? The idea that we heard Democrats screaming from the rooftops after the verdict was that no one is above the law. Right, but it means that the law applies to everyone, right? That's part of that equation, is that you apply these rules to everybody. And the fact that nobody had ever had these rules applied to them before Donald Trump makes it a little bit suspicious, or as the kids would say, sus. Bishop went on to say, quote, "And unless you can say that others are being prosecuted for similar offenses, similar circumstances, with the same laws, and susceptible to the same punishments, it is a concept known as selective or vindictive prosecution." See, this is a key part here, because I understood him when he was saying it. this concept of selective or vindictive prosecution. He says it is well known to the law, and it is a violation of the Constitution, and it cannot stand. Selective prosecution, vindictive prosecution, right? This is a well-known concept. And then he used as an example how prosecutors had abused their powers, much like they did in the Jim Crow South. Oh, sorry. I should, yeah, probably give you one of these. Because you're not allowed to even mention the way Democrats ran the show in the Jim Crow South. This is how justice, quote unquote, was delivered by government in the Jim Crow era. Selective prosecution, right? It's unconstitutional. That's why these concepts of selective or vindictive prosecution, they are well known to the law. You have a prosecutor that is going after somebody individually, personally. They don't like the guy. They don't like the family. They're going to, you know, find me the man. I'm going to find him find the crime to charge him with. Like, that concept is well known in the law. That is abuse. It was abusive when people did it. Prosecutors did it against African Americans just because they're black. And it's abusive, I would submit, and Dan Bishop submitted, it is the same in this case. The abuse is the problem. But because Dan Bishop is a Republican, probably also because he's a white guy, a white Republican, he's not ever allowed to say Jim Crow era South. He's not ever allowed to compare anything to any abuses that occurred then, even though the abuse of selective or vindictive prosecution is precisely analogous. It wasn't based on the color of Donald Trump's skin, although maybe there's some anti, you know, orangism going on there. I don't know. But the concept of vindictive or selective prosecution is the key issue at play. And that's what he said. He said, quote, when I say it's rigged, it's not just that they don't go into a fair fight. They go into a place where they know the fight is unfair. This is venue shopping. This is another part of selective prosecution. You shop for the right venue where you know the jury pool is going to be comprised of people that are going to be less sympathetic to a defendant. He says, it's as bad as it was in Alabama in 1950 if a person happened to be black in order to get justice. And that's what they did in New York. It's a fundamentally rigged, or he says, it's fundamentally rigged, and the people who attack me for saying so can attack all they want, which they have now. Because of course they have. Look at Dan Bishop. He's equating Donald Trump to, you know, victims of selective prosecution because they were black. No, he's talking about this system, which, as I recall, up until about a minute ago when Donald Trump got convicted, and I'm sure it would have been a completely different story you guys are singing had he walked. I was under the impression that the institutions and the systems were all inherently corrupt and they had to be dismantled. But I guess now it works because now you weaponized it against somebody you hate, got your conviction, so now it works, which is actually more of a tell on you, right? That you're betraying what you actually believe the justice system is supposed to be about, which is getting your enemies, getting people that you don't like. And that's not what the justice system is supposed to be about, right? You're supposed to have advocates on either side and an impartial judge and jury. That's what the system is supposed to be about. Did you have an impartial judge? I would submit the evidence also is pretty clear here that the answer is no. Did you have an impartial jury? I don't know, but given the demographic pool from which they were fishing or into which they were fishing, chances are no. But people don't like to blame juries, and I get that. It's never been about justice. It's about rigging and weaponizing our justice system against anyone who threatens their grip on power. We must end the leftist lawfare in November. That Dan Bishop said that on Twitter, or X. He said that on Twitter. So, Dan Bishop is running for North Carolina Attorney General. And I asked him a couple different times in a couple different ways, should Republicans play this same game against the Democrats? And he said no, which is actually what you would want your prosecutor to say, I think. I think you want your top prosecutor to not be in the business of selectively prosecuting people, vindictively prosecuting people based on politics. So Dan Bishop did not go along with that. Now, Dan Bishop has an opponent, and that guy's name is Jeff Jackson. And Jeff Jackson, well, he had a reaction. Dare I say he pounced. Nay, he seized upon Dan Bishop's comments. I'll tell you what he said in a minute. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I have received a communique on the Twitter machine. Here's a message from Jeff asking if I invited Vince Coakley to listen and on the Dan Bishop. I have not. I didn't know. Did he cover it? I suspect he did. I don't know. I did not hear if he did. Oh, yeah, the Russians are bringing in, like four warships off the coast of Cuba. So they'll be here next week. But I just, you know, I feel like that's important information to know. Democratic U.S. Representative Jeff Jackson, running for North Carolina Attorney General, running against Dan Bishop, pouncing, nay, seizing on Dan Bishop's comments made here on the program on Monday. He says, quote, that Dan Bishop immediately dismisses 34 unanimous verdicts by a jury as rigged. Note the language here. Jackson is an attorney. And you'll note the deflection and the arguing of points that are not actually responsive to what Bishop said. Right? He dismisses 34 unanimous verdicts. Well, the 34 unanimous verdicts were about 11 separate issues. And then the one overarching issue. The 11, there were like 11 checks, 11 invoices for those checks, right? Those and receipts, those were, so there was 11 instances, and each one of them, Alvin Bragg, tacked on three different charges. So there's overcharging occurring. And then the umbrella charge, which is what he was, that was the felony, which was based on crimes that were not proven. That's a problem. Crimes were not proven. Those underlying unlawful means, never proven. Jackson says he immediately dismisses 34 unanimous verdicts by a jury as rigged. What he said was, when I say it's rigged, it's not just they don't go into a fair fight. They go into a place where they know the fight is unfair. Venue shopping. That's the rigging. Venue shopping. Judge shopping. Same thing. Jackson then goes on to say, he's never been a prosecutor, and it shows. Disagreeing with a jury is one thing, but saying the whole thing is rigged is dishonest and destructive. Is it dishonest and destructive, by the way, to say that the judicial system is inherently racist, systemically corrupt, institutional racism? Is that like, is that also destructive? Or is that different? I'm not sure, because Democrats, you guys have been sending some mixed messages over the last 4 years. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but you have been. But note also, he's conflating the jury's decision with everything else. Right? The jury made its decision, but all of the other things that Dan Bishop walked through in that conversation is ignored because Jackson wants to make it seem like Dan Bishop is attacking you. You could be a juror. He's attacking you and the democracy, right? He's a former state senator, former prosecutor out of Gaston County. He told McClatchy last week that it was what he described as Bishop's attack on the jury that really bothered him. Quote, when I was a prosecutor, I saw jury verdicts I disagreed with. You want to respond to that in a rational way, not by lashing out and calling the jury rigged. Again, let me read this. When I say it's rigged, it's not just that they don't go into a fair fight. They go into a place where they know the fight is unfair. It's as bad as it was in Alabama in 1950 if a person happened to be black in order to get justice. And that's what they did in New York, right? Venue shopping. That's the rigging. Now, if you're going to tell me that you would have no problem being tried by a jury of MAGA folks, Jeff Jackson, would you object to that? Bunch of hardcore partisan Donald Trump lovers in the jury box against you. Would you be okay with that? Or would you feel like, I'm not so sure I'd trust these folks to be completely on the up and up, all of them, you know? And finding a jurisdiction where 90%+ of the population is registered Democrat and voted for the defendant's opponent, and the defendant happens to be a pretty well-known and polarizing person, it's not beyond the pale to suggest that maybe there was a little bit, a teensy-weensy little bit of venue shopping. He said, I just thought that behavior, really targeting the jury, is well beneath what we should expect from an attorney general, especially when we're talking about someone who's never prosecuted a single case. But he keeps hammering away, never prosecuted a single case. Which, by the way, the attorney general, as I understand it, does not actually prosecute the cases. He doesn't go into court. Josh Stein doesn't go into court and prosecute people. But once again, Jeff Jackson accuses Bishop of what? Targeting the jury. When Bishop actually was targeting what? The prosecutor. He was targeting selective and vindictive prosecution. That's what he was talking about. That was clear, I thought, from the conversation. And then all of a sudden, I see everybody being outraged. And then I remembered, oh, that's right. Dan Bishop is a Republican. So that's why this is an outrage for Democrats and the media. But I repeat myself. Much like Byron Donalds. He found himself on the defensive this week as Democrats were attacking him for comments he made the night before praising black families under the era of racial segregation in America. Well, obviously, you should attack him for praising black families during racial segregation, right? How dare he praise black families during segregation? Wait, what? Hang on a second. That doesn't make any sense. During Jim Crow, the black family was together, he said. More black people were not just conservative, because black people have always been conservative minded, but more black people voted conservatively, he said. This is what he meant. This is what he's talking about. And anybody who listens to conservative talk radio knows exactly what he means. He's talking about the nuclear family remaining strong and intact until government programs came in and blew up the family unit. That's what Byron Donalds is talking about. I understood it. Most Republicans understand it. We've heard these arguments before. The fact that the folks at Politico who reported this, they've never heard this argument, or they have heard it and they're just trying to shade the truth for you. So you, if you've not heard it, you take away an impression that he's somehow praising Jim Crow era. That's absurd. Bad faith. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.